We've been talking, our theme has been the arrival through the week of December. The idea that we're talking about the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a little baby. And so the first week we talked about the signs of that arrival happening. And then last week we talked about the fact that if you're going to arrive somewhere, you have to depart from somewhere else. And so the idea that we have to leave things to arrive in the new things that God has for us. And in the case of the Lord Jesus coming, there were people that had to make some major thought changes in their life to accept the Jesus that was coming. I believe that for us as believers that we have to do that as well. You know, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when he arrives in your life, there has to be a departure from some things, doesn't there? And that doesn't always happen overnight. There's a gradual change in some things. And other times, it's what? Miraculous, right? Just in a flick of an eye, and a flick of it's just changed immediately. I thank God for those times where the change happens immediately. But do you know that sometimes in our departing from something, there's a bit of a struggle? That's okay. Don't think that you're any less when you're dealing with a struggle and departing from something else to arrive in what God has for you. Because in that struggle, there's relationship. In that struggle, you realize the goodness of God. And it also gives you this amazing compassion for others who may be going through the same things. Because let's face it, if in life, everything was just a snap of a finger. In other words, you said, Jesus, just take this away. And he did it. And then your neighbor's having difficulties. What would you say to your neighbor? Just get over it. Jesus would just do it. If you just let him, he'll do it. Can I tell you, that's why God allows the struggle at times, so that you can have mercy and grace towards others who are struggling as well. Amen? So I encourage you today, as we begin to open up the scriptures, is to think to yourself, I haven't walked in that other person's shoes, so I shouldn't judge them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But what I want to talk to you about is visitation. With every arrival, especially in the Bible, arrival of something, there are visitations that happen around it, specifically angelic visitations. Now, with the birth of Jesus, or the coming of Jesus, there were at least four different angelic encounters that happened. The first one was with Zacharias. Remember Zacharias and Elizabeth? They were there. He was a priest, and they were praying for a little baby, if you remember, and no baby, no baby, no baby. And he's ministering in the tabernacle, and what happens? An angel shows up. You know, it says, hey, you know, you're going to have a baby, and he doubts it. And the angel says, you're going to be mute. You're not going to be able to speak until it comes to pass. So that was the first encounter. The next one was with Mary, which we're going to look at in a few minutes, with the angel Gabriel showing up there. We also have an angel showing up to speak to Joseph. We have that account as well. And then we have the big one we're not going to talk about today, but remember it was in the fields by night, you know, what was that one all about? With the shepherds, right, where the angels show up. In fact, not just one angel, but angelic hosts of heaven. Can you imagine the night sky being filled with angels singing and praising God? Man, I want to see that tape. And that is going to be amazing to see that happen. But I want to focus today on two visitations, because I believe that they apply to our lives today. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin there. And this is where an angel shows up to Mary's house. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a wonderful story. But what I want to do is place ourselves in it. You know, it's amazing, right? You have this angel show up and speaking to Mary, and you're maybe thinking in your heart, man, I wish an angel would show up and talk to me. Well, I want you to think about that a little bit. Let's look at Mary. Let's put ourselves in the position of Mary. Here's Mary, a young girl, maybe 14, 15 years old, betrothed to be married to a guy by the name of Joseph. And betrothal back in that day, that was really being married. It's just that they hadn't come together yet physically. But it's not like today where you know, you have engagements that can be broken easily. Literally, a betrothal was a marriage. It was really the same. And so she's excited about life ahead of her, you know, being with Joe or going to be her husband. And it's just going to be a great life. You know, they're planning their future together, I'm sure. But before all that, she's in a house, appears to be by herself in a room. And this angelic being shows up. Now, can I tell you right now, that's not usual. In fact, before this account, God was silent for some 400 years. In fact, he said way back in the book of Malachi, I'm not going to say anything more. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but until the Redeemer comes. So for 400 years, there's been silence. So people had heard about the stories of God doing great things and seeing all these miracles happen, but they had never seen it with their own eyes. In fact, for generations, they hadn't seen it with their own eyes. No one had seen an angel. No one had seen any mighty spiritual move in any way, shape, or form. All they had was the shell of the stories of what they had heard. And I'm sure some of them wondered, is God even still alive? Is God still moving on the earth? Is something happening? Can I tell you, here's the thing. God is never early. He's never late. Now my prayer is that you and I don't have to wait 400 years. Amen? And so here we have this story where this angel shows up. So for Mary, it says she was troubled. That's the scripture that we read. Okay, that is a very poor translation. She freaked out. She screamed. She's like, ah! I won't do that to you and hurt your ears, right? She literally was outside of herself. Because what does the angel say? Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Because that's literally the word terrified. It's the word phobia. It's that where you are freaked out completely. And the angel says, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Now, you would think, okay, great. You know, that Mary calms down a little bit, says, look, this isn't normal, but I can accept this. You're definitely not a normal person. You're all glowy. You got wings. You know, there's something about you that's different. So she begins to settle down, right? To settle down. Okay, well, what do you have to say? Now, I'm sure she screamed again with the next thing that she was told. You're going to have a baby. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now picture, you're Mary. What's going through your head at that moment? Well, she actually says some of the things that's going through her head. She says, look, I haven't known a man. How is this possible? Let me tell you some of the things that she thought about as well that went through her head. What am I going to tell my parents? What is the town going to think? And most of all, what's Joe going to think? Can you imagine all those things going through her head? And the angel explains what's going to happen. Yes, you haven't known a man, but the Holy Spirit is going to conceive this baby in the womb, and he's going to become the Son of God. He's going to be the Son. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. And what does Mary say in verse 38? Let's just look at this again. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. See, I believe the miracle hadn't happened yet. I believe that angel was sent by God to ask permission for Jesus to be placed within her womb. You see, God will never go against your free will and my free will, whether it be for salvation or any other decision after that. I believe God always asks permission. And here we have Mary giving permission. Now, she's not just giving permission for Jesus to become part of her on the inside. She's giving permission for her whole world to be turned upside down. Think about it. She's an unwed pregnant girl. What is everyone else going to think? You see, they haven't had the visitation like she had. She knows what happened, but do they know what's happened? See, in your life and in mine, we all have different visitations in different ways, whether it be an angel or the Holy Spirit speaking to us on the inside or the ministry of the Word of God to us or a prophetic word. But God speaks still today. We have visitations. But just because you've had the visitation doesn't mean the people around you are going to get you. Do you hear what I'm saying? So first of all, you need to just get over that, all right? And you need to just keep your eyes upon the Lord. Because if it's really God who has spoken, if it's really supernatural in nature, then God's got a plan to see it come to fruition. And I'm going to tell you right now that there's going to be people around you aren't going to get it. They're just not going to understand what's going on. But Mary did the most important thing of all. She had all those thoughts bombarding her, and I can tell you she did. But when all those thoughts kind of subsided, she said, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let your will be done. And the question I have for you at this very moment is this. Are you willing that when God speaks, however he's going to do it, through an angel, through the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the word, however he speaks, are you willing to say yes regardless of the consequences? Because when supernatural things happen in your life, there are going to be people around you that don't get it. They may never get it. They may never get it. I am sure that Mary had people in her community that never got it. They just called her the wayward girl. They probably had other names that they used. But she knew the truth. Do you know the truth? Here's what the word says. The truth will set you free. But if the people around you don't know the truth, it's not going to set them free at this point in time. You keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, as we read this story, I'm amazed by it. I see God coming down to talk to an individual, to ask permission to be a part of her life. What if Mary said no? Well, I think the mother of Jesus could have been named Sally or Sue or, we always think, well, it's got to be Mary. Well, no. Mary said yes, therefore the miracle happened. What about you and I? Are we willing to say yes so God doesn't pick someone else? See, Bob prophesied that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing and forceful people lay hold of it. In fact, it's in several places in the gospel. That's the scripture he was quoting. Mary forcefully laid hold of it. But you'll notice it says this, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. That's God's side. In other words, his plan is going to happen, whether we want to be a part of it or not. And because Mary said yes, she became a part of that plan. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to have to go pick the second person in line or the third person or the fourth person. When God comes to us, let us be his first pick. And we say yes to him, regardless of how it's going to turn our world upside down. And let the miracle happen. You see, in the end, everyone knew that it was miraculous. In the end. Now, it might not be till they died in the end. You see what I'm saying? But the truth will always show itself sooner or later. Are you willing to be okay with that and walk on with what God has called you to? So that's Mary. That's her side of the story. What about Joseph? If I was Joseph, I'd be pretty messed up. Let's read that encounter. It's in Matthew chapter 1. Let's see how Joseph deals with this. See, some of us are Marys, some of us are Josephs. See, Mary had the revelation, Joseph didn't. How does he deal with it? Now, he eventually gets the revelation, but not at the start. Luke 1 verse 18, that's where we're going to start. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So here's Joseph. Now picture this. Mary has this visitation, right? The angel comes, talks to her, says, this is what's going to happen. And she says, yes, may it be according to your will. Okay. Where do you think the next place she goes to? She goes to see Joseph. I can tell you right now, that's where she goes. So she goes in, she's probably pretty distraught. She's, you know, she just had this unbelievable visitation. So she goes in and says, Joseph, I just got to talk to you. I just got to talk to you. So she then sits down with him and tells this story of this angelic encounter, ending with the fact that she is now pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How do you think that goes over with Joe? It's never happened before, never happened since. How's Joe going to feel about this? Well, I tell you, if I was Joe, I might be, yeah, right. I'm sure for Joseph, it was difficult. But I believe there's something we might be missing. First of all, Joseph grew up with Mary. Lived in the same town. That's the way things were done back then. It wasn't that, you know, you met somebody on the other side of the country and they came and he knew her. Knew how she thought, how she acted, who she was. And he knew that this was not in her character. And I believe in his heart of hearts, he wondered, could this be true? I've always read this story that he doubted her and he wanted to divorce her. But if you look at the story, if you look at the account, look at what it says in verse 19. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. If he really didn't believe her, if he thought that she just got pregnant by somebody else, wouldn't he have done, if he was a just man according to the law, you know what the law says about her? She should be stoned. If he was truly a just man according to the law. And the word says he was a just man. So here's what I want to propose to you this morning. Unlike maybe what we've heard before, we always thought that he wanted to put her away because he thought she had done something wrong. Could it be that he wanted to divorce her because she did something right? She tells this story of this angelic encounter, that she's now pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to the Son of God. So just for a moment, let's believe that maybe Joseph believed her. Now, what would you do if you were Joseph? I'll tell you what I would do. I'd be like, I'm not going to be part of this. If God's doing something here and they're going to have a baby, I'm like a third wheel. I'm just going to back away from this. And here's what it says. As Joseph was pondering these things, an angel showed up to him in a dream to tell him the truth, to tell him, look, don't be afraid. You can be a part of this. See, it's pretty amazing. Joseph's name, you know what it means? It means to add to or augment. Now, the word augment, that's not a real common word in English. But what it means is if you have something and you augment it, it means you make it better than what it was before. And so literally his name means that he's going to augment whatever he's a part of. What I love about this story is that God doesn't leave Joseph out. Now, the story doesn't circle around Joseph, but he's still an important part of what's going on here. And you need to understand that there are times where God gives a revelation to someone else. That doesn't mean you're left out. God's still got a plan for you. He's still got a purpose for you to maybe augment what's going on there, to add to what's going on there, not to back away and divorce yourself from it. And that's literally what I see in this story as I read this account, is that God was making sure that Joseph knew he was a part of this. And he reveals to him and says, look, it, you know, there's a plan for you in this as well. Don't be afraid. Marry her. She's your wife. Watch over her. Keep her. You know, all of those things. And we can see that Joseph does that. You know, he makes the trip to Bethlehem, and we're not going to get into that today, but he is a part of Jesus' life, at least in the early years. He was important as well. You're important as well. Don't get all worked up when someone else gets a revelation and you don't. But ask yourself, Lord, how can I be a part of it? In the mid-80s, in 1985, is when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it was quite a tumultuous time in my life. I was engaged to be married at the time. It was Sandra, my wife now. And we had known each other since childhood. Probably we were 13, 14 years old when we met. And so we knew each other very well. She knew the way I would think and act. And she knew me better than I knew myself. And I'd been brought up in the church but didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. In other words, I was a religious Christian. I did not know Jesus personally. But I could quote the scriptures. I could do all the stuff on the surface. But inside, I wasn't right with God. And not to get into it today, but I had an encounter with God. I had a visitation from God that brought me to my knees in realizing that I was a sinner and needed a Savior. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that was just a couple of weeks before I got married. Now you have to remember, Sandra's known me for years and years and years. But then I had accepted Jesus. And I changed. It was like this switch happened in my life. I fell in love with Jesus. I couldn't get enough of his word. I couldn't get enough of prayer. I couldn't get enough of church. I couldn't get enough of him just to know more about him and understand him, because he had forgiven me of my sins and I felt the change on the inside. Now, mind you, I still had lots of issues. If my wife was up front, she said, oh yeah, he had issues. But God had begun a work in me that he hadn't been doing before. And one day, just a couple weeks after we got married, I remember it was about 9 o'clock at night, and I'd gone to bed. So I'm in bed, and you know what I'm doing? I've got my Bible, and I'm reading it right now. Picture this: I'm a newlywed, like just a couple weeks. You know, I'm reading my Bible, so I got my Bible in front of me, and I remember my wife walking in, and I remember just her getting so angry, and I forget what she threw at me. She threw something at me, and she said, "Man, I don't know why you married me. Why don't you go marry Jesus?" And then she stomped out. And the Lord spoke to me, and here's what he said. See, I can relate to Joseph a little bit. I can relate to Mary a little bit as well. He said, son, she hasn't had a visitation yet. And so she feels that you've left her for me. And so in this conversation, I said, well, Lord, in a sense, I kind of did. Spiritually, emotionally, I disconnected myself to be with the Lord. And at that point, I began to kind of correct those things and begin to, you know, allow her to be a part of what was going on, even though she couldn't understand. She hadn't had the visitation yet. And some 2 months later, she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And then we could walk along the road together. Now, she was the crazy one, too, reading her Bible. I'm like, honey, like, come on. But we were equally yoked from that point on. So I can sense what Mary went through. I can sense what Joseph went through. How about you? As you walk on this earth, you're going to be the one that gets the revelation sometimes, the visitation. Sometimes you're not going to be. But how are we to act towards one another? In judgment or criticism or doubt or unbelief, or one of affirmation and encouragement and building one another up, because that's what we're to do. You see, I believe that today angels still play a role. I don't believe quite the same role as they did under the Old Covenant. When angels came under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, they would come and give messages from God. They would say, this is what God says for you to do. And then those individuals would rise up and do those things. Do we need messengers like that today? We don't need a visitation from angels for that reason, because we have the habitation of the Holy Spirit living in us. We don't need a messenger from heaven to come and give us a message from God, because we have the Holy Spirit. We have God himself living inside of us to speak to us. Now, does that mean angels got the pink slip? that they're no longer needed, that they're, you know, just singing in heaven and no longer play a role. No, I believe that they play a tremendous role still, just not as messengers. I believe they do some other things. So let's look at some of the purposes of angelic visitations today. The first one that comes to me is for direction. In other words, we see that sometimes there needs to be a little bump in one direction or the other. How about this for correction? When the angel showed up to Joseph saying, look it, you know, you're thinking this, you're afraid. Don't be afraid anymore. And what about encouragement? I think of Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and an angel shows up. What did that angel do? Strengthened him. Encouraged him. Amen. I also believe that angels protect us. I believe that each one of us have angels. The Word of God says in Hebrews 1 verse 14, are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So do I have any inheritors of salvation here? Hope you put your hands up. Absolutely. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you're an inheritor of salvation. And the Word of God says that angels play a role in that to protect you. I believe that God, through angels, have saved our bacon more than once. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Times where you should have been dead, where maybe you were younger and driving your car like crazy or someone else was. You know what I'm saying? And you should be dead, 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 dead. And yet, miraculously, here you are today. I believe an angel played a role in that, or angels. As I look at my life, though the Word says you at least all of us have at least one angel. I think God has like, I got a crew that follow me around because I've done some stupid things in my younger years. But all in all, I believe that angels are a part of our lives and need to be a part of our lives. Now, should we focus on them? Should we pray for an angelic visit? No, we shouldn't. We should just walk with Jesus. And if angels are necessary, God will send them. God will have them work. God will have that miracle happen. I have one angel story I want to share with you that is close to my heart, and it involves my son Alexander. I've never seen an angel, at least knowingly, in my life, although I believe and have seen them in action over and over in the years past, and I could tell you all kinds of stories, but I want to relay this one story. My oldest son Alexander was around 5 or 6 years old, and so as the firstborn, he was the shyest, and for whatever reason, he had this fear that was a part of his life. So I don't know why. He was just a fearful little child. And so every night we'd put him in his bed, tuck him in, he'd go to sleep there. And around 2 or 3 in the morning, guess what little Alexander would do? Come and crawl into bed with mom and dad, right? And he'd always worm his way up into the middle between us and sandwich himself between us. That's just what he did. Now, obviously, at the beginning, we'd take him back to bed. But you know what you do as a parent after a while? He's fine. You know what I'm saying? You just learn that that's just the way it is, and you just carry on. So this went on for, you know, a couple of years. So from when he's 2, 3 years old all the way up to 5 or 6 years old. And so this one particular day, and back in that day, I was getting up early to go to the barn and do chores. So 5 o'clock in the morning. Can I tell you something? I do not miss that at all. That 5 o'clock in the morning thing. Yeah, I'm up before the birds were up. You know, it was dark. It was cold. You know, this time of year, freezing cold, getting out of bed. But I remember getting up and getting dressed to go. And it was nothing unusual for me. We had like a little nightlight on, so I didn't have to turn all the lights on. A little nightlight. I got dressed and went. Now, what I want to share with you is the story that Alexander told Sandra that morning. Now, you have to picture. My son's 5 or 6 years old. This is 25 years ago, okay? This is before all the internet and video and all of that whole business. You know, a pretty secluded kind of life. We weren't in a church that talked about angels. We weren't watching any films about angels. There was no angel talk whatsoever, okay? So this is his firsthand account from a little kid who saw something and related as best as he could. So here's the story he tells Sandra in the morning. She says, I saw Daddy get up, and as he was getting dressed, I saw this white glowy figure over to the side that looked bigger than Daddy but was kind of shaped like him. So, okay, yeah, okay. So we can go with that. Say, oh, that's cool. But then this is what he says. He says, I saw Daddy go out the door. So picture a bedroom, okay? So there's a doorway, just like a doorway there. And so you have the ceilings higher than the door, and then you go out and the ceiling's higher again. So he's laying in bed as he watched this account. So he says, I saw Daddy get dressed, and I saw Daddy go, and this glowy figure followed him. Now here's what still gives me goosebumps and raises the hair in the back of my neck. This is what he said. He said, but as I saw the glowy man follow Daddy, his head went through the top of the door post and come out the other side. Remember, he's laying down looking. He actually saw it go through the door. That is so cool. How could a kid come up with that on his own? He can't. He's just relaying what he saw. Just firsthand. Now, I didn't see the angel. I wish the kid had said, hey, Daddy, there's a glowy man behind you. You know, I would have liked to have seen that. But I didn't get to see it. And so, why? You say, well, okay, that's a cute story. What was the point? God never does anything without a purpose. And so, as you know, I came back later in the day and Sandra told me the story and we sat down. And so Alexander says, well, does everybody have a glowy man following? And so we were able to share that, yes, there's angels that watch over you. In fact, the Bible says that the angels are before the face of the Father, always on your behalf. That there's always an angel following everyone. Now, why did he need to hear that? Fearful little Alexander needed to know that there was an angel watching over him. From that day forward, he rarely came into our bed anymore. He didn't need to. You see, God has purposes in all of his visitations. And whatever each one of us need, he will provide. Amen. I encourage you today to have an expectancy of heart of visitations. Now, again, I'm not encouraging you, oh, God, send me an angel. Are you sure you want to have a situation like what Mary and Joseph went through? You get what I'm saying? It will turn your world upside down, maybe. But what I am saying to you is to have an expectancy to let God do whatever he wants to do. Now, that includes an angel visit, great. If it includes the Holy Spirit speaking to you, that's great. If it includes, as you're reading the word, the revelation from that. However he wants to have a visitation, to allow him to do that today. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you for every single person here. And Lord God, I believe that you've visited with us today, all through the service at different times and different ways, and that each person here had the opportunity to be touched by you. I fully believe it with all my heart. And Lord, that doesn't mean that everything was for everyone, but something was for everyone. And so it's my prayer that whatever seed truth, whatever revelation, whatever type of visitation happened, that Lord God, that we would ponder these things in our hearts. That Lord God, that we would not just say, oh, okay, that was fine, but that we would take it and accept it. And just as we saw the examples from the word, be obedient to whatever we're told to do. For Lord, that's true faith in action. When we hear from you, however you speak to us, and we act upon it, that's real faith. So, Lord, I speak a blessing over your people as they go out this day. Bless them especially during this Christmas season. Lord, they're going to be meeting with family and friends. And Lord, I pray that they walk in love, forgiveness, and acceptance, just as you did when you walked on this earth, but just as you would if you were here at this very moment. But, Lord, you are here. You're here through us. Oh, so let us, Lord, be lights for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a visitor here, please stop by the Visitor Center. We've got a free gift for you. If you need prayer, we would love to pray with you this morning. God bless you.